give some context, just to give some context in this AMA session, we'll be recording this for those who cannot, will not be joining us. We will be focusing on design related questions. So since like Flynn is the artist, Flynn and Sarah are the artists for this Como NFT. So we will have the questions. I know some of these questions coming in, you guys have been like been asking about the games, the future of Atlas, more about the gems. We will be arranging another AMA session with the founding team. And like we'll probably address your questions about the game, the gems, and probably more about the future of Atlas in another session. So today we just want to have Flynn and Sarah be in the limelight, and we'll just like cover some of the questions that you guys might have. So maybe we can give a couple more minutes, probably one more minute for people to join us. And then maybe Flynn can start off with a quick introduction of yourself, your background, and your experience as an artist. And then we'll have Sarah do the same as well.
Sharky, thanks so much for the introduction. I think, yeah, let's get everyone settled down. So it's going to be a really exciting hour or so, I would say. So if you guys are at home, grab yourselves a drink, and we will start the ball rolling in about 2 minutes.
Hi everyone, good morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you're from. We're so happy to have everyone join us for our very first EMA session. And my name is Sharky, and like with me today we have Flynn as well as Sarah, the artist for Como NFT that is going to be launched for Atlas. So I think like as people like join us, we can still carry on, and I think to start off we can have Flynn and Sarah, just like give us a quick introduction of yourself, your background, your experience, and how has it been so far for your journey in like designing the Como NFTs.
Thanks so much, Sharky. Yeah, it's really exciting to be here for the very first AMA session. I can't believe that we're actually here right now. I would say that the journey has been about, a month, just over a month right now. And I'll dive a little bit more into that. I hope everyone is settled in at home. Make yourselves comfortable. I've just poured myself a drink. I think for two reasons. The first is that this is all really, really an opportunity to celebrate, but also because this is all super unscripted and I'm a little bit nervous. So do go easy on me tonight, guys. Just seeing your questions. So I think we can dive into this pretty much straight away. Sarah, are you there? Can you hear us? Hello, hello, Sarah. Okay, so maybe just while Sarah sorts out some of the technical issues, I think maybe a little bit of background about myself. So my name is Anirin Flynn. I am a Singaporean artist and creative director. Professionally, I look after a creative agency, and we do all sorts of fun and creative things for big brands. And that's really just part of my day job. And of course, on the side, when I get to, I love to illustrate and sort of dabble in all of the new exciting technologies as new kind of mediums pop out. Technology has just been so amazing. I think we've all seen like huge shifts in like augmented reality, 3D software, and of course virtual reality, and seeing how we create those super immersive aesthetic experiences for people to enjoy. I got the opportunity to design the Como along with Sarah here, as well as some of the creative assets for the Ethless platform. And it's been, like I mentioned, it's been so exciting. Like I said, it's been about a month since I was contacted by some of the Ethless team. So just a bit of a, I would say, a disclaimer here. The Ethless team is, I mean, it comprises of some really amazing, fascinating founders and obviously developers, and the whole ecosystem is just incredible. And of course, that whole gaming platform was just so exciting to be a part of. And then the opportunity to build Comos with utility to dabble in this whole NFT space was such a treat for me, because I love new technology. I love dabbling with new things, and yeah, here I am. So those conversations started about a month ago, and that's when I kind of knew, okay, Sarah is definitely the right artist for the job. She is uber creative, one of Singapore's definitely top up and coming creatives. I've been a follower of her work for a little while, and yeah, I think we can open the floor to some of the questions that came in. So,
Oh, that's amazing.
Hello.
Sarah, yep,
Oh,
Sarah's on.
sorry. I'm
Hello,
alive.
yay. Hello. Hi, Sarah.
Yay.
Hello. Thank you so much for the kind introduction, Irene and Aaron, and nice to meet you, Sharky, and hello to everyone
Hey.
who has taken the time to join us for this chat. Chill, hang loose, and ask us any questions. We do have some really interesting questions, and yeah, I'm really excited to embark on this journey, and I feel very grateful that Aaron approached me with this opportunity. And for me, I'm actually more educated in the traditional art, think painting, think sculpture, think watercolor. It was only maybe a few years ago that I decided that, it's time to pick up some technological skills, And ever since I've started delving more into the digital arts, and now NFTs are all the rage. And I did take some time to find out what it was all about. And I'm still on this journey learning more about what NFTs are. But one thing I'm really excited for Ethless is its democratic appeal, that it's open to anyone. You don't have to have a huge investment to start. You can literally just start with a Metaverse account, am I right? So, yeah.
Awesome. So without further ado, I think we can jump straight into some of the questions. I think like lots of the committee members actually send in their questions, and I think the first one will be first of all, the design of the Comos is great. It's really beautiful, and I'm so eager to see the various Como variants that will appear. Keep up the great work. like there are a couple of questions. Like number one is like, since when did you start like practicing, say, art design as well as like, say, painting or illustrations? I think they're just like very curious about your background.
I think we can probably both kind of take turns answering these questions because I think, you know, both our backgrounds are a little bit different. For me, my father is a painter. He's a fine artist. And I sort of just grew around that whole space, right, of him sculpting, watching him paint. So naturally, that's where I kind of gravitated towards. I got my first laptop, I think, when I was like 9. And then, you know, I started playing Sims and I loved that whole idea of like world building. And then I started playing around with Macromedia Flash. I don't know if there's anyone out here who's like, who's in that animation space, but you know, these were like the first kind of design softwares that were out. And I used to design sort of all these little things along the way. So that's how I kind of got kickstarted into the whole creative space. I would say I was just more or less kind of born into it. And then, of course, I think just certain things along the way, such as being exposed to, you know, having that computer, having that access to that software, really just kickstarted that for me. And of course, along the way, I just figured out that I wanted to be an artist. And yeah, there were a few shows. I think very much like Sarah, I was trained traditionally in oil painting and in sculpture. And then eventually that kind of transitioned on into, you know, graphic design, like how do we build, you know, brands for other entities? How do we send messages across? How do we make people feel a certain way when they look at something? So that's how pretty much I kickstarted. Why don't you tell the gang a little bit about yourself, Sarah?
All right, gang. So this is my I didn't know your father was a painter. That's super cool, Anarin. My first love of art was probably doodling as a child, but also I grew up in a family of three brothers, so I was constantly exposed to video games. I was exposed to all these media that they were like, as a kid I wanted to watch Barbie and they would be watching Batman and the Marvel things. I think inevitably I was very influenced, and I still am very influenced by anime and manga. As a child, I used to sit in front of the TV on Saturday mornings trying to copy the characters that I would see on TV. And I think I love this one thing that Anarin said about even for branding, for advertising, crafting that message for other companies. I think that's the basis of what art is all about. It's about communicating. It's about that portal of communication between people and for better understanding. And I think that's really lovely about art.
That's amazing. Sarah, do you mind sharing, like, do you still watch anime? What are some of your favorites? I mean, just because we're still on the topic.
I'm a self-professed huge weeaboo. I am less so more now, but the anime genre that I do gravitate towards are quite bloody in general. I actually also do enjoy psychological anime that espouses on themes such as existentialism or nostalgia or meaning, or they can be philosophical in nature. One anime that I really love is Neon Evangelion. I'm sure it's a cult classic, as well as some of the films that came up of the 90s era, such as their masterpieces, Akira, and then there's Paprika, and then of course you have Studio Ghibli, that's always in someone's favorite folder, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so awesome. I would say, yeah, I still do watch anime, although recently I've just been rewatching some of the classics from the 90s.
Yo, jumping on nice. This, you know, Cowboy Bebop has just come
yo!
Back on
Netflix. I know. The live action one, right?
Yeah. Is
okay,
it?
I'm a little bit nervous.
I'm just watching the animation one.
Oh, the animation's good. There's a live action one that's being produced. I'm a little scared.
Oh, man. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, they're producing nice. One Piece in live action too, which I'm also scared of. I hope I personally wish Netflix would stop readapting anime classics into live action. but we'll see how it turns out.
Oh, that's a really fine line, though. You know, some anime fans would never want to see their favorite anime come into live action just because, like, you know what they did to Avatar, right? So,
oh my goodness, that was tragic. That was tragedy.
Yep, that's right. All right, jumping back into like Komo, and if you are for all the like community members who are joining us, who just joined us into this room, please feel free to ask questions in general chat. We will be doing like a little lucky draw at the end of this AMA, so stick around for that. We will be picking like three questions. So if you are the one who asks those questions, you will stand to win 50 gems from Atlas. So please stick around, and I think this is going to be an interesting conversation. So jumping in right into like the creation process, maybe like both of you, can you just like give us some insights and some tidbits, right? Like, how was the creation process for Komo, and like starting from the idea and like sketches and like inspiration, like how did this all start?
That's a great question. So let me just give everyone here a little bit of context as to, I think, how this came about, and I think what Atlas is today. When I first heard about Atlas, it was already a gaming platform in which, you know, it was a free-to-play, play-to-earn platform, and the games were already there. It was already existing. And the whole idea here was to see how we could weave a storyline, to see how we could weave a character in the form of an NFT that would essentially have some form of utility in all of these games, into the Atlas metaverse. So I think, you know, when I kind of was posed that question, immediately I called up Sarah and I was like, hey, you know, we gotta have a brainstorm. I think, you know, to everyone here who's just joined us, just want to say that, you know, working with Sarah is awesome. I would say she's definitely one of Singapore's up and coming creatives. And I knew straight away that we needed to tackle this together. So Sarah, I think you remember it pretty well. We pretty much just sat inside the room, and we're just like,
inside
okay,
the room.
So yeah, exactly. And we're just like, let's hammer out everything. Let's go to the drawing board. And then we looked at all of the games that were currently on the Atlas platform. We looked at, you know, the mechanisms for how people were going to play, as well as, you know, how they were going to earn gems. And of course, that super awesome fountain where, you know, you could essentially toss gems into the fountain and be eligible to win big. Yeah, so we thought about all of that. And yeah, we were thinking about gems. We were thinking about, you know, this whole idea of the metaverse. You guys know
as well as naming Komo. Yeah.
Exactly.
Ooh,
so,
you
yeah,
naming
yeah.
something was so difficult.
Exactly.
It's like naming
yeah.
a child, you know.
We were, yeah, so we were giving birth to something.
Yeah. We were really, I think, for my part, I was really excited, and I am really grateful for this opportunity to work with Anirin. I've seen the projects he has done, and he executes everything he does with such professionality, if that's a word, professionality, and as well as the enthusiasm. So I am still very excited to work with him. And I think one of the grounding design direction that we kind of took into mind was the fact of what Komo meant, what Atlas meant, and how Komo, like branding, like design, like art, was something that could bridge. It was a communication. You know, when people see Komo, could they vibe with him, and could they also trespass that need for even language, you know, to almost understand and immediately get him? And I think that's the beauty of NFTs, right? Or even with technology, you don't need a certain set of language to, maybe you do. Maybe you need computer coding and engineering, but that's the beauty of art, where you can immediately access it, I guess.
You're absolutely right. We wanted to create something that was going to be accessible and loved by everyone. So I hope everyone listening today, I hope you guys are fans of Como, because we essentially designed the Como character to be loved, right? We created the creature with big eyes. We looked at the proportions. We looked at, you know, how kind of dragons were designed across, you know, all cultures, and we did all that research, and we eventually, you know, after I would say hundreds of sketches, to be honest, we arrived at the Como character that we all see today. And of course, in designing the NFT itself, it's and you know, Sarah will definitely attest to this. It is so different from creating any other kind of artwork. So I'm specifically talking about a generative NFT series here. And I would say what is different about it, as opposed to, let's say, some artwork or an oil painting, is that when creating an NFT project or a generative NFT project, you have to be so methodical about it. Because essentially, every feature of the Como, every physical attribute that you see here is going to change in some way. So you see, like you guys have had some sneak peeks of the Como so far. So you'll see that, you know, like you'll see in mind that it's yellow and it's got some stripes and it's got some flame horns and it's holding a paintbrush. Then you might see in like Sarah's one that it's got different color eyes. It's got a different color body. It's holding, you know, a Como egg. So basically the idea is that, you know, we had to create this completely versatile base that was going to be able to be kind of transformed in ways that, you know, all of us can essentially imagine here, right? So the idea is that, yeah, things need to be adaptable, things need to be changeable. And I would say that is what is just so different about building an artwork for a generative NFT project. Yeah, what do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, actually, I just saw a question flash by of someone asked, I think, us, what is the most interesting Como that you've designed?
Top secret.
Yeah, top secret. Stay tuned to find out more in the future. But to your question, Anirin, in terms of the generative art process, I think it has been so much fun thinking of the variations and also thinking of the base design. It really, I don't know how much of you guys out there have played games such as RuneScape and Neopets. And it immediately brought me back to those memories where you'd wander around, you spend hours on the internet just building this relation with this character and wandering across different universes of this fictional planet.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I used to play RuneScape, and I've been dabbling with NFTs for a while now. And I think like that's the beauty of like the NFT generative like, kind of space, because I think it's so difficult to be creative in the sense that you have to create a base set of features that is like sort of like universally attractive like for all colors and all like features. And I think it's amazing. I think the community should get like more and more sneak peeks for some of the rarer Como, hopefully in the near future. Yeah.
What do you say, Anari? sorry. Didn't mean to cut you.
No worries. Flynn, were you saying something?
No, I mean, definitely we'll provide more sneak peeks into the super rare and the super unique Comos and the super creative ones that come out pretty soon. But I think, you know, I also wanted to share here that we had to build the Como as a canvas, right? Like it had to be a creative platform in itself. And as much as possible, you know, like all you guys here listening with us today, we want you to be involved in the creative process as well. So I think something that I kind of wanted to allude to is most likely in the very, very near future, we'll be setting up, I would say, a separate channel for Como Design, just to hear what you guys are thinking about, you know, what we should include in terms of like colors, in terms of like what the Como is holding, and so on. So yeah, stay tuned for that, guys.
Nice.
Okay. Shiny Rainbow. Yeah. Sorry.
yeah, no worries. Go ahead.
I'm seeing questions flash by. So Shiny Rainbow asked, how did we come up with the name Como? And I think D-Gen Whale asked about what do we think about the future of NFTs. So in regards to naming the creature, right? Let me see. Shiny Rainbow, thank you so much for your question. Yeah, keep those questions coming in. We came up with the name Como, and you're right. I wonder who was it? Van TV that answered Shiny Rainbows. We were inspired by the Komodo dragon. So Anarin and I, during our brain hacking session, we did delve into the research of the fauna and flora that surrounds Southeast Asia. I felt like as designers, as creatives, it's important that, yes, you know, sometimes you do design according to the design brief, but it also have a place that is true from yourself. And we looked at our heritage, we looked at our identities. I'll share a bit about me and Saudi Arabia. And I moved to Singapore, looking at how different religions practice there, and I think all of that influences my creative process. And for Anirin, if you don't mind me sharing about yours, Anirin grew up in, I think, New Zealand, if I'm not mistaken, and then he came to Singapore. Am I right?
No, definitely not New Zealand. I grew up in the UK, so my heritage is Gaelic, right? It's Welsh, it's Irish, it's English. Yeah, but apart from that, go ahead.
I'm so sorry. As you can tell, I probably didn't do well in geography, but but yes, Anirin grew up in the UK, and then I think he came back to Singapore because one of his parents were Singaporean. So he had this dual heritage as well, and so did I. So in a way, you can say that we're third culture kids. And then taking that all into consideration, we looked at the different mythologies of dragons, you know, because dragons don't just appear in fairy tales where someone slays the dragon, rescues the princess, and gets the treasure. In a way, we were looking at dragons from China, from Chinese culture, from Southeast Asian culture, from Gaelic culture, and from other cultures as well. And we realized that in one way, when you think of dragons, immediately with a very ferocious kind of being, but it doesn't exist. The symbolism behind the dragon doesn't exist like that for many other cultures. To many other cultures, dragons are benevolent beings from heaven, and they bless humanity. And I think we were very inspired by that trajectory of dragons, whereby it's giving, it's loving, it's cheerful. And I think that influenced some of the design as well. And then so I had my sketchbook and I had all these research down, and it looked like a conspiracy theorist kind of plotting with sketches and words. And then at the fifth hour of being in that room, we looked at the sketchbook and Anarin said, Como. And I was like, oh my God, Como, it sounds amazing. That's right. It has to be Como. So I guess that's how it came to be. I'm so sorry if I'm rambling. Sharky or Anirin, please feel free to jump in.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Tell me to stop. Like,
No. You're absolutely right. Right. The creative process is like that. Often there are so many eureka moments, and you know, sometimes it is just a case of quantity, right? Just getting out as many ideas as possible, and then of course when you feel like you've just landed on that one, it just feels right. And for us, when we kind of, you know, said Como. It was, it just had to be. So yeah, that was the birth of Como. And I think, you know, that there was that question, you know, where do you get inspiration from for the art and design of the Como? And, you know, is it really based on the Komodo dragon? And, you know, thanks, because you said the Como is so cute. But yeah, that question essentially is kind of true, right? We were looking, as Sarah mentioned, across different mythologies, different cultures, and really trying to amalgamate the kind of how dragons were perceived, not just, you know, culturally, but globally as well, across all cultures. And then kind of just landing on that, you know, idea that, you know, maybe we could name this after Komodo, or it could be a nod to the Komodo dragon. But in this, you know, really strange and awesome and wonderful mythical place called Ephelus.
Yes.
Awesome. So maybe let's dive a little bit deeper in the creation process. You mentioned that like Como is a canvas. So how do you actually decide what to add to each Como to actually make it distinct and make it like unique? Like what is the kind of like thought process in the whole, like, you know, the creative development process that you decide like which kind of like features you want to add in, like what would look cool in a Como?
That is an awesome question. And I will say that we pivoted a couple of times, to be honest. So I think first up, we were looking at a lot of the other NFT projects out there. And we were trying to kind of decipher what made a really successful NFT project. One of the things that Sarah and I kind of looked into was this notion of memeability, right? Like, how meme-worthy are these Komos, right? Like I mean, actually, that's what I love about this community, right? This entire, like, NFT, like, the entire degen space, right? It's all about just having fun and, you know, sharing these, like, moments where you can just laugh about things with each other. So we were looking into that, right? Like, this concept of memeability. So we were just throwing out ideas, like, you know, what could go viral? What would make someone laugh? You know, what could people really connect with? So we were thinking about all of these different things, right? I mean, it's, you know, you could create a Como that is in an astronaut outfit, for example, and we could be sending him to space on a Tesla rocket, right? I mean, we could be totally wacky with all of our references. Yeah, and there were a lot of ideas that we came up with, you know, like could the Como be eating a banana, right? Because, yeah, everyone loves bananas. And so that was kind of, I would say that was the first iteration where we were thinking, you know, how do we make these meme-worthy? But I have to share that along the way, we really put a lot of thought, again, with the game developers, with the designers, with the entire Ethless team. And what we wanted was to really feed into that idea of creating a sense of, I would say, ownership to the Como, but also a way to see how we could tie in the longer term Ethless lore and the Como lore together, and how that could kind of come about in the utility of these NFTs in the GameFi platform itself. So just to give you guys an example, and I hope I'm not divulging too much information here, but these NFTs, these Como NFTs will have utility inside this game platform. So this is definitely what sets this NFT project apart from every other NFT project that we're seeing out there. It's really, or I think to me, that's what is particularly revolutionary about this one. You know, straight away, these NFTs have in-game utility. So we're talking about like gem multipliers. We're talking about ways to, you know, be able to increase your energy cap so that you can essentially play more games in the day and earn more gems. So that's essentially the whole kind of, or the package to which we had to start thinking within. So eventually, actually, the design process is going to be informed by the lore that we are now writing around the entire Ethless platform. And it, you know, ultimately there will be a realm in which we can have these Komos battle against each other, and you can collect these Komos and you can upgrade these Komos. So now the idea is that, you know, we can create Komos to have certain abilities, certain powers, and these will most likely be based on their elements. So you can think of like fire, earth, air, you know, water being the main ones. And then we can like bring other things in, like electricity, metal, and so on. I won't dive too much into that because, you know, this is all, I hope that I'm not divulging too much here, but this is definitely how we're going to start designing the Comos.
That is amazing. Okay, so maybe just like a quick personal question. Why did both of you like decide to design for Atlas? I'm pretty sure this is both your first like NFT art project. This is your first foray into like NFTs and this like metaverse, right? And yeah, why Atlas? And have you ever thought about like creating NFTs in the future as an independent creator?
Go for it, Sarah.
Great. Hi. So I am here because Anarin knows me and he thought I was great, and that's why I'm here. Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here, and I really do love illustration and I do love drawing, and I really am in love with Komo, and I am so happy designing little things for him. I can't wait for the rest of you to eventually experience and see what they're holding, what they are interchangeable with. I think it will be a lot of joy for all of you. For NFTs, I was wondering, in Singapore recently, they held an NFT exhibition with Beeple art in it, and it was called Right Click and Save, which is ironic.
That's right.
Right, and I didn't get a chance to physically attend the exhibition, but I did attend the digital space, and it's pretty cool. You get a little avatar, you can clap your hands at paintings and walk around. I am thinking of producing a few NFTs of my own, but I'm still doing a little bit of research, and I'm still feeling a little unconfident in terms of this space. So yeah, that's for me. What about you and Irene?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole like blockchain space, right, has totally turned the art world upside down, because, you know, you can now assign rarity to the creative assets that an artist creates. And, you know, in the past, digital artwork never received that kind of value, right?
Like that's
no
true.
One looked at no one looked at digital painting and was like, yeah, someone's going to be able to sell this at a Sotheby's auction for, you know, like $2 million. No chance in hell. But today, you know, with blockchain tech, it absolutely has revolutionized the entire art world. And I know that, yeah, I definitely wanted to be part of this space. So I think when I had the opportunity to get into it, I jumped at it. I had to. It was just something that I could not turn down. But yeah, there's definitely plans to create NFTs in the future. I think the whole space here is just so exciting.
And there's awesome. Something really exciting. Oh, sorry.
Sharky, no, no, you were it's, going it's, to...
I think it's really exciting about NFTs and what Anarin just mentioned. Should I call you Anarin or should I call you Flynn? Because it's Flynn Atlas. Which do you prefer?
Yeah. This is... Maybe I just like... I don't know. I suffer from an identity crisis like all the time. So... Yeah, I mean, people call me both. I know, Sarah, that you call me Anarin.
Yeah.
Other people call me Flynn if Anarin is too hard, but I'm open to both.
All right. So Anarin just mentioned something about NFTs being like in the past, they were digital art and they weren't as appreciated as traditional art. And I think that is the great thing about NFTs. It's a great decentralizer. It's a great decentralizer of art, of currency. And I think what I really appreciate about Atlas is this I wouldn't say this destabilization, but what's the word for it? It's open, you know, there's no gatekeeping, there's no huge fence for you to climb over to prove to prove your mettle, you know, you can just access. It's completely accessible. And that's one thing I really appreciate about Atlas, and one thing that I'm really appreciative of the NFT space. And so I feel like Atlas being a generative art NFT thing, and with the NFTs being accessible, I think they're both very congruent with each other. Yeah.
Awesome. Flynn, give us a little sneak peek, right? I think some of the community members are really excited about Komo. So I think like a couple of questions that came out was, is there like some special edition Komo that can be minted from the sale? Yeah, like special edition ones, right? And like what's after Komo for Atlas? Like do you think you can give us a little sneak peek, like, you know, behind the scenes?
That is that's a really good question. So, I mean, to be honest, guys, absolutely yes. There are gonna be super unique Komos that come out. These are gonna be the super super rare ones. And of course, you know, it does come down to that kind of the luck of the draw, right? There will be, you know, the awesome thing with this project is that we get to be as creative as possible. So yeah, I think to answer you guys here, there are going to be super super unique ones, and definitely like I mentioned before, we will be starting that that Komo creative channel with you guys, so you guys can just like throw in all your ideas there. Maybe we'll even run a competition, and the winner is going to be able to like basically dictate what Komo they want for themselves. So yeah, and then Sarah and I will design that for you guys. But yeah, I just wanted to say that we will definitely be creating super, super rare ones. We'll be involving the community in every way that we can. And we just really want to hear your super creative ideas as well. In terms of like what is next for Komo, right? This is the beautiful thing with the metaverse concept. Komos can essentially be like the first species that is found, or you know, is identified in the Atlas metaverse. There is, you know, there's infinite possibilities for us to continue expanding, like another species, for example. Let's say it could be, you know, just off the top of my head here, it could be something else entirely. It could be a cute giraffe, for example, a giraffe-inspired creature. But the idea here is that, you know, this Atlas metaverse is really one that is expansive. And after, you know, we've had the Komos out, potentially we can explore something else. But like I said, rest assured, right? We definitely want to involve the community in that creative process. Yeah, we want you guys to be part of this story as well. Also wanted to share here very quickly that, you know, there is potential here that we can potentially partner up with other NFT projects in the future and assign utility to other NFTs that you guys might already own, and assign some kind of power-ups or some kind of ability with other NFT projects out there. So yeah, that's all in the works. So yeah, this is just a super exciting space to be in.
All right. Now I want to like probably look at it from a NFT artist like perspective, right? What is your opinion on like the NFT like crypto space, and like what do you imagine the future of NFTs would be in the next 3 to 5 years?
I love this question, and I think both Sarah and I can answer this. I feel very strongly about this. The first thing I think that is going to happen is that because we can now assign sort of IDs and ownership to digital assets, and experiences, like art experiences, are getting more and more immersive, we are going to be seeing a shift in terms of the way that artists are valued in society, right? Because they're going to be the ones creating the experiences that allow us to escape our everyday lives. It's a little bit Ready Player One, but what I see is artists designing these 3D worlds in which you can, you know, you can come home at the end of the day, you can don the headset, and, you know, I can pretty much buy from an artist an experience that will take me through, you know, the outer, the far reaches of the solar system and kind of back again. And then maybe in another experience, I'll get to enjoy sitting by the beach and, you know, watching the sunset while, yeah, awesome things happen around me. So that is ultimately how I see the NFT space kind of evolving into. It's very Ready Player One. I think we've all seen it with a little bit of, you know, Zuckerberg's commitment to building the metaverse. And definitely here, Ethless plays a huge part in that. How about you, Sarah? I mean, how do you feel about the NFT space in general? And what do you think is going to happen to the art world and to experiences in general?
Well, thank you for the question and passing it to me and Arin. Personally, the thing about NFTs and the reason, I think I would like to preface my answer by also stating the obvious that some people feel that they still think that the digital art is one huge mirage and they don't think that's not going to go far. But I think that slowly as we live on our human lives, technology will be an irreplaceable part of life. I don't think that someone could live in the contemporary society or live in a modern world without the aid of technology. From using Google Maps because I don't know my directions at all, to sourcing out for new information or even learning, you know, new things. It all comes from technology. Is the great, yes, the word is decentralization of everything from knowledge to crypto to NFTs. I think NFTs will play a huge part, especially in art, especially as you shared in blockchain technology. There's that movie with Ryan Gosling in it where he talks to this huge pink bobbed hair woman. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Alex, Sharky? There's this one movie, and it's like super sci-fi and stuff. I can't remember the name of the movie. Oh. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. It's a super long one. It's Blade Runner. Is it Blade Runner?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. 10 points for an Iron. And to me, every time I think of NFT, I think of that scene. I feel like that's the future of art, you know, where it will be around us. It will be experiential. Yeah. That's my answer for it.
Nice.
Tess? Okay.
Yeah, I while we are at this topic, right, like maybe I just ask the both of you, what are some of your favorite like NFT collectibles in the market, or are there like specific NFT artists that you've been paying really like close attention to?
Maybe Anarin, you want to go first?
I think, you know, this being a Singaporean project, just want to, you know, big kind of shout out to all of the awesome Singaporean NFT projects that are taking place. I love. There are a few, right? Uninterested Unicorns is pretty cool. I wanted to talk also about Dark Zodiac. Sharky here is actually part of the Dark Zodiac team. And of course, you know, what Dark Zodiac was, or how that was kind of really awesome in my eyes was that, I mean, not only were they kind of featured around the different Zodiac signs, but also like they were 3D, right? And that was kind of, I mean, it was just different at that point in time when we saw the rest of the market, you know, creating a lot of hype about the 2D, the pixelated things like CryptoPunks and so on. It was really something different. And of course, Mechaverse as well, talking about those awesome 3D projects. Mechaverse is another one that, you know, we've also paid very, very close attention to. We are definitely loving the art for that. So, yeah, maybe in the future, right, there is scope to turn Como into 3D. No promises yet. But yeah, that's a few of the projects that I really, really love, and definitely because they are 3D in nature. Obviously, as well, those other projects with who have been really creative with the way that they have assigned utility to them. Obviously, we all know Axie Infinity very, very well. So that's been really, really cool. And then we've also heard of, you know, other projects such as the Board 8 Yacht Club that, you know, allows you access to real world events, access to real world places that, you know, only owning an NFT in your wallet will grant you. But yeah, that's kind of my answer for those.
Thank you, Naren. I think I totally agree with what the Singapore scene has been doing for NFTs. And it's been really inspiring to see what people come up with. And talking about the 12 Zodiac sign, I think one very great thing that I really appreciate from the 12 Zodiac sign was the homage to culture, to symbolism that is not specifically the North American market. You know, I think for a lot of art, you know, like, this is an artist talk, so I'm just gonna ramble a bit about art right now. But a lot of art education is centered about the art world in the European and the North American market. Not a lot of research, not a lot of art has been talked about. You know, we have great artists in Southeast Asia, from Vietnam, Philippines, Singapore, Taiwan, Thailand, Myanmar, you know. And I think what 12 Zodiacs did that I really appreciate was paying homage to all these symbolisms that, you know, really referenced our culture here. And for me, the NFTs that I really, really love are NFTs such as that, you know, when they create something that is so uniquely special to their own experience. So there's this one, there's actually a Vogue show going on right now, Sharky and Naren and everyone, that is centering around NFTs. And I really love what these artists do. I also have a friend, he's a painter. He's traditionally an oil painter, but recently he's delved into digital medium and delving into NFTs. And it's just amazing to see how his artistic sensibilities with stroke, color, weight, and even emotion comes into play when it's in the digital space. So I think it's really exciting to see what's up and coming. And I can't wait to see what's next in store, including ours.
Great to know like your thoughts, and of course like thank you both for the shout out. That was really nice of you guys. And maybe one last question to wrap things up. I think with this NFT space, you know, we've been talking a lot about NFTs and the market itself. Like, something a little bit more lighthearted to end this EMA off. Maybe just like share with us, what are some of your favorite food or dessert, say from because you guys come from very different backgrounds, right? Like tell us, like, what do you like to eat?
Wait, this there was another question that said, why do you have such a nice voice?
Yes, you see that? Everyone loves like listening to you both. Like, we should have a regular like food podcast. Yeah.
Yes, why not?
All right, so my grandfather always used to say to me, variety is the spice of life. So I like novelty when it comes to food, but, you know, there's so much that I love. I love a good Italian cuisine. A good lasagna or a good tiramisu will go down very, very well at any time. And of course, you know, we've got to say that Japanese is definitely awesome as well. Just, you know, to be honest here, I would shout out all the cuisines from all around the world. Definitely a big foodie. But if I had to choose, you know, something that kind of reminded me of home and something pretty unique, in Wales and in the UK, my grandmother used to bake something called Welsh cakes, and they're kind of like English scones, but yeah, they just remind me of home. So I would say Yeah, that's what I like eating.
Oh.
What about you, Sarah?
Well, for me, I have very strange taste. I mean, I love great food. I mean, who doesn't love great food, right? I really love stinky food. I love stinky cheese. I love my stinky tofu. I love my innards, my pig intestine, my liver. I know, I don't know whether this is grossing some of you out, but yeah. I love my durian.
Wow.
Yes. Wait, Sharky, you don't eat any of these?
No, what's no, I do. I love durian, but it's just that, like, okay. The whole list that you mentioned are all like super strong in flavor. It's amazing, right? Like you like your innards and you like the stinky food and all that stuff. That's great.
Thank you for thinking so. I have a very sweet tooth. I have sweet tooth. So I love sweets. I love my cake. I was thinking of a response to this question. So, and I think utilitarian-wise, I really love eggs because you can do everything with eggs. And in terms of
true.
Favorite food, I can't make up my mind. But yes, I love stinky food.
You know, I wanted to say as well that, you know, we might have favorite foods for the Comos eventually. It might be the case that, you know, in the game or as part of the NFT, if your Como
intestines?
Has like, okay, maybe not intestines, but like pancakes or muffins or bananas, then, you know, they're going to kind of attribute to, let's say, your energy cap inside the game. So, yeah, I mean, that's all in store.
That sounds awesome. I think that pretty much sums up like our time for this EMA session. I think just to summarize like some of the key points from this EMA, we will be starting a Como Creative development kind of like channel on our server, and that is where the community gets to also play a part in the creative development process of the upcoming Comos. We would love to have this as like even like a contest. For people to like suggest like certain attributes and certain features that they want to see on some of these Comos. So that's definitely on the way. And then like for food, you know, these are like crazy awesome ideas that we would love to hear from the community and to actually like build this for you, because like, you know what, like Atlas is all about like the community, and we never wanted to, you know, just like design what we like without caring about the community input. Yeah. So right now we'll like jump straight into the lucky draw. I think like I was just gonna mention the names of people who will be winning this like 50 gems for participating in this EMA session. The three lucky winners picked randomly will be Just Play. Your handle is Just Play 8207, and then Alex B, 1602, as well as this name is a bit awkward, but I'm just gonna say it. Trust Me Daddy, 7708. So the three of you lucky winners, please feel free to DM me, and then we will facilitate the gem transfer for you know as a lucky draw prize. So. Really, thank you everyone for joining us tonight. Where we are is nighttime, and no matter where you are on Earth, thank you for taking the time to join us for this like wonderful EMA session. We will be having another EMA session with the founding team next week. And I want to say like a special thanks to Flynn as well as to Sarah for taking your time to be such an awesome spot for joining us and answering these questions. Thank you so much, Flynn and Sarah.
It's our pleasure.
You're very, very
awesome.
Welcome.
The community, yeah, please feel free to show them some love in the general chat after this EMA. They've been like awesome for this EMA session.
Thank you, Sharky. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Awesome.
Thanks,
okay,
guys.
And that sort of wraps up the session. Thank you for participating, and good night.